You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday to us all. Thank you for listening. You can be a big part, as always, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board. Some sound today. We got some good sound today. We're going to play for you fine folks. We have Attorney General Josh Call. You know, when he was elected, he beat Brad Schimel, I believe, right?
Yes, in 2018.
Yeah, so he has some opinions on the guy who wants to become the next Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Certainly going to go there as well. Also, Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, BLOC. She's going to join us at 5 o'clock. She had a piece out at the recombobulation area at Civic Media talking about how these Supreme Court races have evolved over time. A little history with Angela. We're going to go there as well. Love it when Angela comes around. Looking forward to her in the happy hour, 5 o'clock, with Ms. Angela Lang. And of course, just the seesaw back and forth of whatever is going on here with this. President Trump was out there selling cars today in the White House lawn, man. Feeling very bad for Elon since, you know, Tesla's...
He's been treated very, very badly by some people who just don't see him as a patriot.
Illegal boycotts. What are you even
illegal
talking about?
The guy,
Donald,
is a boycott illegal? How is not
you
buying
must
something?
Purchase a Tesla. Anyway, Donald Trump publicly stating how concerned he was that the Tesla stock has dropped 45% since the beginning of the year.
Well, why doesn't he personally subsidize it?
You're right. Go ahead. What do they call them? The swastika cars. Say that. I know it's terrible. Donald Trump's out there selling cars today. But the story, of course, is we led yesterday, and we're going to go there again today. Closing bell. Markets having another rough day. Mm-hmm. And I know we've had this discussion. You know, when does the economy become, you know, this administration's economy? When does it practically? Not when Donald Trump's, you know, continues to, when he'll ever stop complaining about it. He won't.
Never.
But practically speaking, and I think we're certainly there. If the actions or inaction by a president is literally impacting the market that day, if the government firings are literally impacting job loss for the month, which they are right now, and they didn't so much last month, but they certainly will this month. Well, I think, as they used to say around the campfire, if you smelt it, you dealt it. And I think this is now certainly at this time of Donald Trump's making. This is the Trump session, the Trump administration's market as it stands right now. If you think I'm wrong, you know, tell me what your criteria is, how you measure, how you gauge. I give you mine, give me yours, 855-752-4842. CNBC is now reporting the S&P slid in a head-spinning day for traders as they digested new tariffs proposed by Donald Trump that were still in flux as of Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
No, the market's closed too. Now, after the close, apparently, before the close, market. So Trump putting these tariffs on Canada and all this, and then a Ford from Ontario responded because, you know, they sell, like, you know, electricity to some states, you know, put a tariff on that, and all Trump freaked out of that. So instead of the 25, I'm going to raise it to 50. I see a 25, I'm going to raise you 50. So he goes to 50%, and everyone, very blustery. Well, apparently they had a conversation, they're going to negotiate, and Trump he rescinded now the 25%. Still going to be at 25, but
correct,
not the 50.
Right.
Right. So it was at 25, that was set up weeks ago. Then just randomly, oh man, so it's another 25. This reminds me of the attitude of Dr. Evil when he wants his money.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
$100 billion. Everyone's laughing. Wait, this is 1950. We don't even have that kind of money. You know, it's just because he just throws numbers out there. And why 50? I mean, if you're going to go back, why not 100?
Mm-hmm.
Why not 1,000%? I mean, a bazillion percent tariff.
Mm-hmm. If you're going to tariff it, tariff
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying. If you're going to rescind it anyway,
yeah,
may as well really go to the edge.
Right. We want to shake things up. Let's really commit to the bit.
That's what I'm saying, man. Come on. Stop being a wuss about it, Trump. As CNBC continues, the trade policy uncertainty has brought the benchmark, again, the S&P 500, to the brink of a correction, which is defined as a decline of 10% from its high. Now, the S&P ended its session 0.76% lower. At its low of Tuesday's session, the index was below the record 10% below the record close. So it did dip into that 10%, mm-hmm. that correction area, but some buying pulled it out of that, but still very close. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 1.14%. The NASDAQ down 0.18%. The S&P 500 was in the green at one point during the trading session before Trump declared on True Social that Canadian steel and aluminum duties would double to 50% from 25%, effective Wednesday. Starting Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
The president made the move in response to, of course, Ontario Premier Doug Ford's surcharge on electricity imported to the States, as we mentioned. Later in the day, Ford said he was temporarily suspending the 25% surcharge, Canada's 25% surcharge mm-hmm. on the electricity exported to the U.S. Ford has suspended that as well after talking with Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. Shortly before the close of trading, Trump indicated he may reduce the tariffs on Canada, which apparently he did do. This is the latest in a series of disorderly trade policy moves that have rattled corporate and consumer confidence and weighed on markets over the past 3 weeks. CNBC. It's a nice way to put it. Disorderly trade policy.
Disorderly trade policy. That makes it sound so like there's a plan. Trade policy implies
50%, 25%,
plan, not 50%, throwing things at a 100%, wall.
1,000,000,000%. I did do a little bit of the checking out the finance.yahoo.com. I like their interface on the markets. Looking back over the last month. According to Yahoo Finance, the Dow over the last month is down over 7%. The S&P 500 over the last month is down over 8%. The NASDAQ over the last month is down 11.24%. The Russell is down over the last month 11.55%.
Wow.
That's over the last month.
Mm-hmm.
This is the mega economy. This is at least the mega market. So let's put it that way. I think we're going to see some inflation numbers coming out this week. And, of course, we'll see continued reports as the time goes on.
Mm-hmm. Now, is this, when you were looking around, mm-hmm. was this a continued slide? Was this something that was already happening in the months before? Or is this new?
Oh, no, it's new.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's new. You can tell by the chart. So, I'm going to do it right now while we're doing this here as we look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So, you know, the 5 days down 2.5%. The 1 month, as mentioned, down 7.09%. Year-to-date, down 2.6%. 1 year? The 1 year, mm-hmm. year over year, up 6.87%.
Oh.
So when you throw mm-hmm. in, you know, some of the better
sure.
growth
sure,
in,
sure,
in the
sure,
past,
sure, sure.
the 5 year, up 75%.
Oh, wow.
So these are very definite, specific, you know, and it's, again, this, I don't want us to tell you that this is entirely because of the actions of this erratic president. MSNBC, you know, certainly consider the source Steve Bannon reporting. Throughout the 2020 presidential election, Trump repeatedly delivered a scary warning to the electorate. If elected, Joe Biden would cause an economic collapse. The incumbent's demagoguery wasn't based on anything real or substantive. He just hoped to scare voters into reelecting him. I guess it worked. In fact, with just a couple of weeks remaining before Election Day, the two major party nominees faced off in their final debate, which included rather specific predictions. They say the stock market will rule if I'm elected, Trump said. If he's elected, the stock market will crash. As it turns out, the Republicans had the right concerns, but the wrong presidents. The major Wall Street index has fared quite well throughout Biden's term in the White House, which at least so far is not the case for his successor. We know what happened yesterday. We talked about it quite a bit. As Bannon goes on, to be sure, markets can fluctuate for all sorts of reasons, many mm-hmm. of which are often outside the control of any one administration, certainly. But that's precisely what makes the latest downturn so politically potent. It's easy to draw a straight line between stock market turmoil and Trump's agenda and his public rhetoric. Indeed, the major indexes sink. No credible observers are seriously making the argument that slides are unrelated to the White House, that the slide is unrelated. No one's saying that. Everyone seems to understand exactly who and what is responsible for significant losses. In this game of Clue, it was the president in the awful Oval Office with his trade tariffs and layoffs.
Easiest game ever.
Right. What's remarkable is that there's hardly any real news driving this, Paul Krugman said. It's just investors belatedly realizing that Trump is who he is and always was. Asked last week about market losses, the president blamed globalist countries and globalists who see how rich our country is going to be and they don't like it. That was gibberish at the time, and it's noticeably worse now. And stepping back, the problem isn't just that Trump is responsible for market instability. It's also the fact that he promised to deliver the opposite results. Well, give him time. You know, maybe it spreads out over time.
Right. Just give him time to settle in. Well, find his footing. Where did I hear that? All right. Right. That was 8 years ago.
When markets soared during Biden's presidency, the Republicans repeatedly insisted that was the major indexes were only up because investors expected Trump to return to the White House. It was part of a broader push, Trump told Americans, to see the stock market as one true metric that mattered more than any other. Yeah,
how's
right?
that working out?
Before his inauguration, the president vowed a Wall Street boom, as NBC reported. The rhetorical push continued as his second term got underway. This is what he said at an investor conference on February 19th, not quite a month ago. When President Trump wanted to make the case for his first term success in an interview last month, he turned to the stock market, quote, "I was very proud to have handed over the country when the stock market was higher than it was previous to the pandemic coming in. It was an amazing achievement." And in his second term, he promised the trend would continue. Quote, "The stock market is going to be great," he told the crowd. Just 18 days after declaring that the stock market is going to be great, Trump appeared on Fox News and said, quote, "Can't really watch the stock market." If the Republican is counting on the public not to notice the contradiction, he's likely to be disappointed. Yeah, man, not great. And there, as Krugman points out, what's the other news? I mean, some good news, apparently. Perhaps Ukraine coming to the table, wanting to do a deal. That'd be great, right? Everyone wants that. Wouldn't that help the markets, right? If you're thinking, no, this is just Donald Trump being Donald Trump. 50%, 25%, 50%, 0%. We'll negotiate. We'll see what happens. Nobody likes that. Oh, by the way, the one good side, the VIX over the last month, up 68%, the volatility index. That's where your money should be. But don't take it from me. 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Welcome. You can join us on the lines 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Angela Lang, Executive Director of Block, going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Hope you stick around for that. Right now, we're kind of reviewing the closing bell. Markets having a tough time today. But as mentioned before, the break, the VIX, the volatility index, up over the last 30 days, 68%. Man, you know, of course we should have seen that coming, right?
Volatile people ever taking the reins of the country. Yeah, not there.
VIX down today, though, however. So that was down. So it was over 70% before today.
Quite a bit yesterday. So
Just a little bit more of the reporting here also from NBC News. Trump made the stock market a marker of success. Now he's hedging as markets dip. And I just want to reiterate this because we've heard Trump talk all the time, all the time, all the time. Today he's saying, oh, you know, markets go up and go down. It'll be an adjustment, whatever. But, you know, it's amazing when the news benefits him. I mean, this is him, but politicians, but we're talking about Trump right now. So it's him. Oh, mm-hmm. It's all the greatest thing. It's because, you know, it's because of Trump. Well, is it? Is this then because of Trump? Do you take the losses as well as the wins? No, of course not. Shannon Pettypiece reported at NBC. This was from last night after a very, very tough day in the markets last night. When Trump wanted to make the case for his first term success, he turned to the stock market. Quote, I'm very proud to have handed over the country when the stock market was higher than it was previous to the pandemic coming in. It was an amazing achievement. Then he said again, and the stock market is going to be great. But of course, we know what happened yesterday. After stocks began a downward spiral the last week on fears of Trump's use of tariffs will tip the United States into a recession, his tone has changed. You can't really watch the stock market, Trump said in an interview that aired on Sunday. If you look at China, they have a 100-year perspective. We have a quarter. We go by quarters. So, so I'm very proud.
Watch the markets. Don't watch the markets. Tariffs. No tariffs.
Of course, we talked about yesterday, but I haven't seen this one. Yesterday, the stocks sank further, erasing all their gains since Trump's election. That's going back to November. S&P had its worst day since September, and shares of technology companies were among the hardest hit as the NASDAQ had its biggest one-day drop since 22. Now, the NASDAQ lost $1 trillion in value yesterday. Now, none of the more than two dozen posts on Trump's Truth Social account Monday addressed the market sell-off. A White House official downplayed the market moves in a statement to reporters. Here's what the spokesman said. Since President Trump was elected, industry leaders have responded to President Trump's America First economic agenda of tariffs, deregulation, and unleashing of American energy with trillions in investment commitments that will create thousands of new jobs. President Trump delivered historic job, wage, and investment growth in his first term and is set to do so again in his second term.
Gee, I must have missed that one.
Yeah, so just don't watch the headlines. Don't watch the news right now.
Don't watch the news. Don't watch the markets. Don't look at what's happening. Great advice.
There's no reason to fear. Everything's fine. Remain calm. Kevin Bacon in Animal House. Remain calm. The White House cited several surveys showing improved confidence among business leaders.
Who ran those surveys?
Though the surveys were conducted before Trump imposed tariffs on Canada and Mexico last week.
Small detail.
I know I failed the class this semester, but I got a B last semester.
So can you just carry it over?
Right. Yeah. After Trump's first term, he frequently used the stock market like an EKG tracking the health of his presidency with posts like this. Stock market at all-time high. That doesn't just happen, exclamation point. At rallies, he would often cite the market and talk about workers thanking him for making them rich because their stock portfolios were doing so well.
What was that when the big, strong men with tears in their eyes come out? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Manly men. While the stock market had its ups and downs during Trump's first term, including a dramatic fall at the start of the pandemic, it was largely on an upward trajectory, with the S&P 500 index increasing nearly 70% during Trump's first term. The market continued its overall rise during President Joe Biden's time in office. On the eve of Trump's inauguration, when the S&P was up around 3% since the election, he referred to the increase in stocks, along with other improvements in the economy, as the Trump effect. The Trump effect on the eve of his inauguration, as things were going up, it's the Trump effect.
It's the Trump effect.
Are we still having the Trump effect?
Do think this is the Trump effect.
Everyone is calling it, and I don't want to say this is too braggadocious, but I'll say it anyway. The Trump effect. It's you. You're the effect, he said to the rally of supporters. Since the election, the stock market has surged and small business optimism has soared to record 41 points to a 39-year high. Bitcoin has shattered one record high after another. But as Trump's policies have begun to take shape in his first 50 days in office, some of that optimism from investors has reversed course. The decline in markets accelerated last week when Trump carried through on the threat to impose that 25% tariff on Canada and Mexico, two of America's closest trading partners, and another 10% on China. We know this. While now Trump backed off of many of the Canada and Mexico tariffs days later, the levies remained on many products, and he reiterated that more tariffs were coming in April. On Monday, China imposed retaliatory tariffs on a variety of U.S. agricultural products, while Ontario's premier announced the province would begin charging 25% more for electricity to 1.5 million Americans. Now, that was reported yesterday. Mm-hmm. The premier Ford has backed off of that, as Trump has backed off, and apparently they're going to start talking. And this whole Canada, and it's bullying Canada to become a state. If you heard Trump today, we don't have the sound, but, you know, trust me on this. When he was selling cars in the White House lawn with Elon Musk, he was saying that, well, you know, we can avoid this whole thing if Canada becomes a 51st state.
They become our 51st cherished state. All the tariffs will go away.
And Canada's very clear about them not wanting to do that at all. I mean, they just elected a new prime minister. They're not having it. The premier of Ontario, he's not having it. Ford, he's not having it. People don't. That's not something Canada
is
looking for.
It's not on their radar.
And at the end of the day, and I've heard some of the Canadian folks get interviewed. What if this was a continuation of the USMCA, which was a renegotiated NAFTA? This was done under Donald Trump. We are right now. Donald Trump is raging over the way we are doing business under the terms of the USMCA, which would dictate by Donald Trump how we do business. How about just, you know, go back to the negotiating table and hammer it out? You did it last time. What is the point of all this? Oh, but the VIX was up 68%. Wonder if they had any idea who's playing that long game. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. Going to turn to the state of Wisconsin and what's going on here. Stick around. And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Just PS working hard on the board. See you folks texting in, but you know we take the callers. Love the callers, but let's hit to some of the texters. You know, maybe it's the topic. You know, numbers are so boring. But it's good to know. Just remember, because you remember how Donald Trump always and always and always and always compared everything to the market.
Right.
And now the market goes south. Don't look at the market.
Don't look at the market.
And
don't
when it goes
attention.
Back, if it goes back up, and it will go back up eventually, he'll be like, "It's the Trump effect."
But this, what's happening now? This is also significantly.
Biden. Oh, it's all because of Barack Obama and the damn tan suit. The suit. Can you believe?
Doomed us all.
He wore a tan suit, and now the markets are dropping like mad today.
I liked that tan suit.
He wore it well.
Yeah.
Some of the texters, Mark, I think he's referring to the action in the market today. Sounds a lot like SpaceX's unscheduled rocket disassembly.
Oh, yeah. That was the, what was it, disorganized planning?
Oh, is that what it was?
I think so.
You got a new word for it?
Yeah.
Versus my stuff just blew up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sounds more professional that way. Unscheduled rocket disassembly. Len from Madison. Deflation good except when it involves the stock market? Question mark. Well, it depends on how you're playing it, Len. You know, if you're betting it's going down, then you did pretty good this last month. What else we got? Why aren't the Dems calling it a zippy name like the Trump tariff tank? Ooh, I like that. Got to name these things. It's not the Trump effect. It's the Trump tariff tank. The Trump session, as folks are saying. And we heard a lot yesterday about stagflation. Not just me. These are all the business mags and all those really smart business folks that really want to make money. You know, that's what they're there for. And these kinds of games that that President Donald Trump is playing is certainly having an impact on how people perceive the market to be. And, you know, perception can become reality. You know, if people are concerned about a recession and they stop spending, well, you know, consumer spending drives this economy. You know, we're gonna,
right.
And then throw on, you know, the variables of things that we cannot control, like Donald Trump. And then, you know, God forbid, something else goes on around the world that could be bad. Well, man, those things can happen. So, yes, certainly concerning times. And this is the Donald Trump economy.
Mm-hmm.
Ed points out from Madison, on Joe Biden's inauguration day on January 20th of 21, the Dow closed at almost 31,000. Friday, January 17th, 2025, was the last business market day of Biden's presidency. It closed at 43,487. Today, the Dow closed at 41,433, down 2,000 in less than 2 months. This is a total self-own by Trump, mm-hmm. Ed from Madison points out. And again, I think you're absolutely right. This could be avoided, at least to some degree. And as Krugman points out, there's no other news driving this other than the chaos in Donald Trump's White House.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's driving it. Now, we have some inflation numbers, I think, coming out tomorrow. And my understanding, not going to be terrible. Consumer Price Index for February is forecast to show an increase of 0.3% for a broad array of goods and services on an annual basis. That put the headline inflation at 2.9% and core inflation at 3.2%, moving lower, but still above the Fed's 2% target. Now, if that comes in, that's good, right?
We certainly do
need
want
some good news,
right?
But that's good. It's not great. It's not bad. It's mm-hmm. better than what it could be, but it could be better, right?
Mm-hmm. It's not going to be helped by the chaos.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I that's kind of a neutral, you know, I think, mm-hmm. variable that's going to come out tomorrow. Now, you know, what happens in the future, of course, we don't know, and that we'll wait to see that. But these are the kinds of things, and we start getting perhaps, you know, earnings season will start coming out after the first quarter. We'll see how that goes. As mentioned yesterday, Walmart's saying that they're going to be down. We had the Fed in Atlanta, you know, expecting a 2.8% retraction in the first quarter. Those are things that will certainly impact. And these self-owns, this effort by Donald Trump, because he's doing the tit for tat. And again, there's no reason for this. He renegotiated NAFTA into the USMCA. And this mm-hmm. is the environment in which we are now conducting our trade with our most beloved trading partners. And he's got a problem with it. But this is under your deal, man. You signed this deal. I get it. You want to change it now? Okay, then bring everyone to the table and renegotiate it and do that stuff out of the light, out of the public, man. You don't need to do it this way.
And it doesn't need to be on a whim. Because right. When the leader of the country is making these decisions on a whim, people get jittery.
Yes, yes.
They get spooked.
There are consequences, even if it's coming from any president, even this guy. Allie from Madison, she wonders, if Canada becomes a state, do we get universal health care? You know, maybe, because Canada's pretty liberal, and if Canada, I mean, if they go that way, but, I mean, there'd never be another Republican president again. I'm just saying. So, well, be careful what you wish for, Trump.
Right, how many electoral votes would they get? But I think it's more likely that they would lose their universal health care rather than us gaining it.
Well,
would they get states' rights?
They get state
would they be
rights,
able to
states'
keep
rights,
it?
And then if they
but
came,
what would happen to their tax rates?
Well, if they come in and they have, yeah. I mean, well, how many you know legislators do they get? Right? Mm-hmm. How are they allocated? If it's
right.
allocated like it is here, they'd help the Dems take over, and then presumably we could get to that point with President mm-hmm. Bernie Sanders. 855-752-4842. Caller Lucia, be patient. We'll get to you in just a moment. Let's see here. Tom from Jackson says, I was going to buy an SUV, but I have changed my mind now, saving my pennies. Yeah, man. You know, that's the concern of people starting to pull back. And it's justified, you know, if you're concerned, you think there's going to be a recession, there's going to be less money in the future. Well, people start to hang on. They start to save. And that's a good defensive move. You get it. It's proper. If you think some bad times are coming. But again, it doesn't have to be this way. Donald Trump could do his business in a different manner. Like when he negotiated and renegotiated mm-hmm. NAFTA, I don't recall, and maybe I wasn't paying attention, maybe I'd have to go back and look, but I don't recall this kind of public pressure and back and forth when that negotiation was going on. I don't recall that. If I'm wrong, tell me, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Who's your Bob? You are up. Happy days, Bob. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. How are you?
Good.
Listening to you talk about his pronouncements on the economy and what he's going to do, I want to play poker with them. I want to sit down across the table with a deck of 52 that no one's ever touched, and I want to play poker with this clown. I thought Western Union had gone out of business until he started telegraphing. You can sit there and read the messages, man. If you can't make money off him playing poker, then you don't deserve to pick up a deck of cards.
Thank you, Hoosier Bob. Appreciate that. I think Matt Rothschild might have some interest in that as well. I'll get a couple of folks together, play some poker with the man. I tend to agree. I don't know that there's, you know, four-dimensional chess going on with this guy. I think it's an easier explanation for me would be just straight up corruption or playing the VIX and they're trying to make some money. The constant banter about making America wealthy again, you know, imposing tariffs on other on goods coming in from other countries makes the goods here cost more, right?
Right.
So if I buy an iPhone for $500 and there's a 100% tariff on it, it's going to cost me $1,000 now.
Uh-huh.
Right? Is that how that works? That seems so. It's inflationary pressure, and that money's paid when it comes in. It's paid at the broker at the border.
Right, and there's been constant disinformation coming from this administration about what tariffs are. We had the press secretary today trying to assert that somehow, some way, tariffs are a tax cut.
Tax cuts! So I want to be clear here. So my $500 iPhone, which is now $1,000, that's a tax cut. Because my math said that that's an increase of $500 out of my pocket, not a tax cut.
And we do have some sound of this if you want to take a listen.
Yes, if you would please.
Absolutely.
Jess.
This is AP reporter Josh Josh, asking a question at the press conference today.
If we could just step back for a second. When President Trump last addressed the BRT when he was on the campaign trail, his big push was on tax cuts. Mm-hmm. He's going there today as he's proposing tax hikes in the form of tariffs.
Not
and
true.
I'm curious
he's not doing
why
that.
He's prioritizing that over the tax cuts.
He's actually not implementing tax hikes. Tariffs are a tax hike on foreign countries that, again, have been ripping us off. Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people.
What?
And the president is a staunch advocate of tax cuts. As you know, he campaigned on no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime, no taxes on Social Security benefits. He is committed to all three of those things, and he expects Congress to pass them later this year.
I'm sorry, have you ever paid a tariff? Because I have. Don't get charged on foreign companies. They get charged on the importers.
And ultimately, when we have fair and balanced trade, which the American people have not seen.
Is that it? We got any more? Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, because it went on to say she was very, very hurt that he was challenging. Apparently, she felt that question. Hey, have you ever paid a tariff? Felt that question was challenging whether or not she understands economics.
Oh, you know what?
I was like,
We do got that.
Wages will go up and our country will be made wealthy again. And I think it's insulting that you're trying to test my knowledge of economics and the decisions that this president has made. I'm now regret giving a question to the Associated Press.
Forgot about that a little bit.
Oh, you're so mad that someone calls you on your BS. A tariff is not a tax on a foreign government. If General Motors has a plant in Mexico, General Motors is bringing, you know, it goes back and forth apparently lots of times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that the government of Mexico isn't paying that. That's not coming out of Mexican government taxes. I mean, that's GM. They're importing
the
vehicle.
That's an American tax.
And then ultimately gets passed on to the consumer. It is not a tax on the government. It's not a tax on the importer. In this case, in my example, is General Motors. And General Motors then is not going to eat that. They're not going to eat that. They're going to pass it along in the form of an increase in cost. Now, is it a tax as a tax is concerned, as we would normally call it? Well, no, it's not technically a tax, but it may as well be.
Mm-hmm.
You call it what you want.
It is a tax. It's a tax on American businesses. It's just that those businesses then pass it along to us.
So the press secretary promised She would never lie to us.
Mm.
And I do challenge your economic knowledge if you're going to sit up there in front of the AP and the world and sit there and tell us that tariffs are a tax cut for the American people and the American consumers. That is not true. That is a lie. And you promised you would never lie. I'll never lie. Brian from MKE, you're up. Welcome, Brian. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, I've been thinking with the tariffs and all that. It's kind of funny how, I mean, I understand tariffs and I didn't go to law school.
Right,
you know, but the thing is, I think about like during Black Friday, when before Black Friday, in the middle of November, the CEO of Best Buy said, well, because of proposed tariffs that are going to be coming down the line, we're increasing our prices now. So does that mean that the $500 TV that I was going to get for $400 is not going to go back up to $500? So where's my savings? And then today, this morning, it's funny how Target, Walmart, and Costco made the announcement that, well, because of Trump's tariffs that are going into effect, we're going to have to increase our prices on most of our goods. And then I love how Canada slaps back and says, well, you're going to propose 25% on our electricity. Guess what? We're going to, you know, slap you back with 50.
Yeah.
And they calculated out that for certain states, depending on where you live and depending on how much of Canada's electricity you get, that's going to increase the average bill by about $100 a month.
Damn, Brian. Well, thankfully, Ford from Ontario has paused that. They are going to negotiate with the White House, which they should be doing anyway. Hell, it was the Art of the Deal author who renegotiated NAFTA to the USMCA. Come back with us, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Stick around, top of the hour, Angela Lang, the executive director from BLOC, the Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, going to join us. We're going to kind of preview what's going on with the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, talk about a little bit of the history and what some of that messaging is around that election. Angela wrote a nice piece over at Civic Media's Recombobulation Area. She's going to tell us all about it at the top of the hour. So looking forward to catching up with Angela. Hope you stick around for that as well. We got Just PS working hard on the board. And we just played some sound of the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt. Apparently took very, very personal the fact that this AP reporter
so
would,
insulting.
Would challenge her. Again, we're not going to have to play it. I'll just say it. Tariffs are a tax hike on foreign countries that, again, have been ripping us off. Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people.
Wah, wah.
So, yeah, according to Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, and we heard a little bit of that. Oh, you know, you're challenging my test my knowledge of economics. Well, yeah. When you don't know how to dribble a basketball, I kind of think you don't know how to play basketball.
A little bit.
I'm just saying. You know, a little bit. I'm just looking at what you're providing me and making an assessment based on my knowledge of the game. It's not soccer, sweetheart. All right. But the as mentioned here in the Raw story, writing up this piece from today, the Council on Foreign Relations and the World Economic Forum have said a tariff is a tax. And in fact, as the Century Foundation explained, most economists strongly disagree that a tariff will be passed on as a bill to the country of origin. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, in a previous life, I was working for a company that brought in containers of marble and granite from overseas from other brokers.
Oh,
and that was, we went direct, brought him in, and he had to pay the bill at the border. You know, we had a broker doing the transaction for us, but there it was. I mean, that's just how it was. And, you know, it didn't get paid to Italy or to South America, wherever we're bringing in the stuff. You know what I'm saying? It got paid to the government from us, you know, as the importer. We were the ones paying for this.
It's an import tax.
The Atlantic's Ann Lowry told Nicole Wallace this, quote, "So tariffs are taxes paid by American consumers. They raise prices for American businesses and American households. And American businesses and households were already suffering with high costs. You can see that in egg prices. You can see that in housing prices. You can see that in child care prices. The Trump administration promised to tackle the cost of living crisis, the cost of living crisis, and this is going to make it worse." Apparently, Nicole Wall played the clip, and she commented, quote, "I mean, she's awash in regret and remorse and offense, and she's either tragically uninformed or lying."
Mm-hmm.
There's no economist that's been tapped to sit in Donald Trump's cabinet who would testify under oath to what she said, quote, "Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people. Simply, the opposite is reality." The opposite is reality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. But fear not. We have our own elected officials going to bat for us.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're wondering who I'm talking about, of course, our senior senator from the great state of Wisconsin, Ron Johnson. You know, he's very concerned.
What's Rojo doing
He's
for
concerned.
Us? He's concerned.
He's so concerned.
He's so concerned. He has lots of concerns.
Many, many concerns about many, many things, but not so much action.
Oh, so he's thinking about the bat?
Very, very much so.
A lot of contemplation of the bat.
Yes, yes, yes. Of the concern. Mm-hmm. Of the very concern.
Mm-hmm.
Raw Story spoke. Easy for me to say. What is it, Monday? Raw Story spoke with Senator Ron Johnson, and he said he's concerned.
Didn't he say that last week?
Yeah. Look, the Canadians are nice people. They're great people. They're friends. They're allies. I hate to see this. When asked if he thinks things have gotten worse, have to get worse before they get better, Johnson said he didn't know. I'm not quite sure what the president's goal is here, said Johnson. He hasn't revealed that to me. Revealed it? Like a gender baby reveal? What are you talking about?
You cut it to the cake and you open it up and
blue,
what color's in it?
It's red, it's green.
It's orange.
Right. Instead, Johnson is turning to something he can control. Spending, spending, spending. There's not much I can do about this, he said of the tariffs, except express concern, which I do. And he knows my thoughts on this. He noted he continued to voice those concerns. Ah, thank you, Ron Johnson.
So he's just like walking past the White House and just, I'm concerned.
So concerned.
I'm really concerned.
Really concerned.
Please, and please listen to me.
It is a concern. Well, what are you doing about it, man?
Nothing.
Okay, you're concerned. This is an increase. This is an increase in tax. And it's not just on those specific goods, because let me tell you a little secret. When all of a sudden the price of a good goes up, and you're a domestic manufacturer of that good, and you don't have to pay that. It's cheap. Mm-hmm. Well, but you're not gonna keep offering your product at the same price.
Well, everyone else is bringing their prices up.
I mean, if something cost $8 and now the guys bring it in and cost $10, why would you continue to sell yours at $8 when you know the market, the other people got to pay $10?
Yeah, man.
So you're going to force your, get a little extra money. That's what you do. So it is inflationary, not just on the folks that are bringing and have to pay the higher prices for instance, Canadian steel, because the local domestic manufacturers are not going to let that gap, that extra profit, just go to the consumer. Hells to the no. If they raise their price to match the imported price, where are you going to go? You still got to buy the good. See what I'm saying? Opportunity cost, folks. 855-752-4842. All right, enough of the economics. And no, I think I'm a little bit better at it than Caroline Levitt, but not much. Come back with us. Angela Lang, executive director from Block, going to talk about this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Join us.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.